The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, rock and roll in hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Urlacher, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. We had Joe Flacco on the show about 40 minutes ago, and he said that DeMar Hamlin should win Comeback Player of the Year. I also thought it was hysterical when I asked him, I prefaced it by saying, I know you probably don't care about Comeback Player of the Year, because you've won a Super Bowl, you've won a Super Bowl MVP, and I can't imagine like an accolade is really going to impress Joe Flacco at this point of his life. And he just said, well, what the heck am I coming back from? Just being old, you know, coming off the couch? I thought that was a great line there from Joe Flacco. So appreciate his time, and we'll talk with Brian Urlacher, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, 20 minutes from now. So we've had the two biggest names in college football recently depart the sport. Nick Saban, we know, is out at Alabama as their head coach. He still has an office. We know Kalen DeBoer is now the new head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And he's been the face of college football for, what, the last 20 years? And he's been the biggest name in the game. He's been the best coach, and he's the greatest college football coach of all time. And then Jim Harbaugh, if he stayed at Michigan, and we know he's not staying at Michigan. He had his final team meeting with the squad today. And now he's going to, I believe, go to Baltimore on Sunday for the AFC title game. And then once that ends, he will go to Los Angeles as he will start his tenure as the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. But Jim Harbaugh was in line with Saban leaving, especially when he defeated Saban. And also, he's a polarizing person. You had Jim Harbaugh with the possibility, if he stayed at Michigan, to be the face of college football. And you can't really have players be the face of college football because they're there in most cases for 3 or 4 years. I know we have like some 7th and 8th year super duper seniors. But for the most part in college athletics, whether it's basketball or football, the two main college sports that we talk about, the coaches 9.9 times out of 10 are the face of the sport. So now we're in an era where there's no Nick Saban, there is no Jim Harbaugh, and you start to wonder, like, who could be the next face of college football? And I think the first name that you think of is Kirby Smart. But I also believe that being the face of college football kind of entails you to kind of have a little villain in you and be a little bit polarizing. I know Kirby Smart has been really successful, right? He's won 2 championships, back-to-back years, dominant teams, had a chance to go back-to-back-to-back this year. They lost 1 game, and they weren't in the Final Four. But I wouldn't say that Kirby Smart is polarizing. You know, I know this could be a different take inside the SEC country, but a lot of that's just probably rooted in jealousy. I don't think Kirby Smart, if you ask the unbiased person, is really hated. I don't think people dislike Kirby Smart, but now he is the king of college football. And when you are the king of college football, you then take the title most years of being the face of college football. But like, Stu, let me ask you this. Would you agree with that assessment? Because I know you watch a lot of college football. Saban, he was hated because he won, but it was also like the persona of Saban. It was so great, and he was the king, and everyone was trying to dethrone him, and he kept on knocking so many teams over and over and over and over, year in and year out. You had like a little run of Dabo. You had the run of Kirby, but even in the SEC championship game, you saw this most recent one, Alabama beat Georgia. So there's been some people, like Ed Orgeron had his moment in the spotlight and all of that, but for the most part, last 20 years, he's been the biggest, baddest name, And it kind of came off Belichickian, where, you know, he's sometimes smug with the media as well. I think Saban is more well-liked nationally than Bill Belichick, but he was that guy where you either loved him or you hated him, and there was no in-between. Like, I don't find Kirby smart right now as someone that really has, I know everyone has haters, but I don't think that a lot of people nationally say, oh, I hate Kirby Smart at all.
Yeah, he's not as polarizing as Saban. And the fact that Saban, like you said, did it for so long, had guys that, you know, battled him, but it was only, I don't think any of those guys lasted more than a couple of years. Even Dabo, who for a few years had Clemson there. He's fallen off after just, you know, three, four, five really, really, really good years at Clemson. It's just not the same. And yeah, I just don't see that same, like Kirby Smart, I just don't see that same. He's not as polarizing as Saban was.
Well, you know how he can become that?
If he wins like three more.
Yeah, you keep on winning. Naturally, people will hate your guts. Like, look at this year in the NFL. There's never been a reason to really dislike the Kansas City Chiefs. Once the Chiefs were bitching and complaining after they lost the game to the Bills because they didn't get a call where Kadarius Toney was offside and he lined up offside, that's when I thought some people really started to hate the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have won, but the Chiefs haven't been polarizing. The Chiefs haven't been hated because they also have lived in the shadow so far of the Patriots, and now the Patriots are dead with Belichick no longer there, Brady no longer there. They have the third pick in the draft, so now the Chiefs are kind of like Kirby Smart, where they're now becoming the team. They now have won. You don't have Alabama with Saban there anymore. So naturally, there will be a moment or two when they keep on winning where there will be that day where people go, okay, I hate Kirby Smart. But right now, I don't think a lot of people hate Kirby Smart, but now he is the face of college football. So that takes us into some other contenders. If Dabo could get back to his winning ways at Clemson, he could be the face of college football. And Dabo Swinney has a lot of detractors because he made fun of NIL. He always bashes the transfer portal and he hasn't embraced it. Dabo is an unlikable head coach. And I wasn't always that way. But the last 3 years, when you failed to adjust, you failed to adapt, and you've been so arrogant about it, I think Dabo Swinney is someone that I don't believe that'll get it back on track to where Clemson was. And I think Dabo has been exposed the last few years and showed that his run had an expiration date on it. But if he could ever get back to that spot, then definitely Dabo could be the face of college football. Now, Deion, we talk about him so, like, Colorado football. Who the heck ever talked about them the last 15 years? And Deion goes there, gets hot, then was that team was miserable down the stretch. They won one game after starting off the year 3-0. But we talked about Deion, Coach Prime. I'm a believer. Just want to make that clear. We talked about Coach Prime each and every week, but I just don't think they'll ever have the national success. Like, the best thing I believe Coach Prime could accomplish in college football at Colorado would win the Big 12. But I don't expect them to win the Big 12 under his tenure. He'd probably have to go to a bigger program. Dan Lanning could be a future face, but he's got to win. Dan Lanning, he's got football. I told this to him. He's got football psycho in him. And I say that in a positive way. When he's in that locker room and he's like, you talk with your helmet. You talk with your helmet. That's a football psycho that I absolutely love. And I thought the first time I interviewed him, I thought he was dry. I thought he was like a little boring, quite frankly. But then I had him on multiple times after that, and there's a side of Dan Lanning once he gets comfortable with you where you're like, wow, this dude just gets it. And this dude is a phenomenal head football coach. But I know that you're moving into the Big Ten and things are going to pick up. This year you did lose to Kalen DeBoer twice. Could Kalen DeBoer be the next face of college football? I love Kalen DeBoer. You know, he's been on this show countless times. What I think makes Kalen DeBoer so great is he's so unflappable, and you could put him anywhere and he could win. But I don't think Kalen DeBoer has the personality to be the face of college football. And I'll give you two other names. And these two names, like, Lincoln Riley could be it. But Lincoln Riley this past year, my oh my, you have Caleb Williams and you can't even come close to sniffing a Pac-12 championship appearance. That's embarrassing. So I got to see more out of Lincoln Riley, because Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma was really good, but people thought he was like a god and great. He's never won a college football playoff game. So it's tough for me to say, and I get it, it's the brand of USC, he's a cool-looking coach. It's tough for me to say that Lincoln Riley's going to be the face of college football when he's never won a college football playoff game. I'll tell you who could become the face of college football. Now, I don't think he has the toughness to do this. And he hasn't found the way to win. But he's attracting big names this offseason. He's starting a little offseason parade, an offseason championship for a coach that has lost faith in his program. But if Ryan Day, and that's a big if Ryan Day or Crying Day, Crying Ryan, if he could find a way to restore Ohio State, he is unlikable enough. And Ohio State fans, you know, love being the villain. That could be a future face of college football. All righty, Stu. Right now, there are three coaches with a national championship in college football, with Jim Harbaugh off to the NFL, Nick Saban entering retirement. It's Mac Brown, it's Dabo Swinney, and it's Kirby Smart. Let's do a draft. We'll do three teams each. Out of the kindness of my heart, I will let Stuart Kovacs go first. And who is a coach right now in college football that does not have a championship that you think will be first up to be that coach that wins his first championship? Who do you go with?
Yeah, there's a couple candidates I have. First, I will go with Steve Sarkisian at Texas. I think he is building up that program very nicely. Obviously, to move to the SEC is going to be a challenge. It is not the competition of the Big 12. But, you know, moving to the expanded college football playoffs, Texas should be in every year. So I don't think that'll be as much of an issue. He has Arch Manning. I think he's going to be a star once he does get on the field, and he's going to absolutely dominate. When you combine Texas with the SEC in recruiting, I like Sarkisian. I think he will win a championship in the next few years.
Good on you, because this was not out of the kindness of my heart. I intentionally had a strategy here. I thought you would take someone else, and you didn't take that person.
So I think I know who we're talking about.
Yeah, I wanted that person off the board. So now I will make my selections. This is a snake draft, correct,
mm-hmm.
Mundo? That's
yes.
How we do
You'll
it?
You'll get the next two picks, yes.
I will go Kalen DeBoer first up. I know it's so tough when you're replacing the guy in Nick Saban, but I don't believe in that saying. You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaces the guy, however that saying goes. I don't care. Kalen DeBoer just took Washington to a national championship game. Kalen DeBoer is in the best situation he's ever been at in his career, and he's been a winner everywhere he has gone. So I will take Kalen DeBoer first up on my choice as a coach that doesn't have a championship that will end up winning one currently. Sark was a great one that you did take. You know what? I hate to do this. Nah, I can't do this. I can't. I want to put the pressure back on Stu. I will go with Dan Lanning. The resources at Oregon, some people believe Alabama wanted him, and he turned down the Alabama job. I know Alabama fans will tell you that that wasn't the case, but there's been conflicting reporting on that. Dan Lanning's very smart to not go to A&M. You know, I would not have faulted him if he went to Alabama, could not have faulted him, but he's now getting Dylan Gabriel this year, and look what he did with Bo Nix, and Dylan Gabriel accomplished a lot more going into Oregon than Bo Nix did. So I will take Dan Lanning as my next choice. So I have Kalen DeBoer and Dan Lanning. Stu took Sark right off the board. What say you?
I'm going to take the guy that you were not going to take.
Thank you.
Mr. Ryan Day at Ohio State. I know
it's a good pick.
He actually has to prove it. Yeah, he has to prove it. They have a lot of guys coming in, obviously, from the transfer portal from Alabama, a lot of those defense.
And the best thing for Ryan Day, Crying Ryan, is that
no Harbaugh left.
No Harbaugh. So yes. Now Ryan Day's saying, who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Yeah, so, I mean, he has a lot to prove, but I think he will eventually win one if he does. And if they have a bad year this year, he might not be there. So then the pick is, you know,
Mike
a bad
Vrabel.
Pick. Yeah, exactly. Might be someone else.
Yeah, Luke Fickell. Who would you go then as your next pick?
As my next pick, there's a lot of good ones here. I'm actually going to go Brian Kelly,
That's
LSU.
A good one.
I just, like you mentioned earlier when we talked about him in Onsides, Offsides, the talent that he's going to be able to get there once he has his footing down, you know, 3, 4, 5 years at the job, I think it's just going to be too good. I've always thought he had, you know, he's a good coach. He's just going to get the talent at Notre Dame to win a championship. Now at LSU, I think he'll eventually get that talent and win one.
All righty. I could go Mike Norvell here, but I'll hold my nose and I'll go with Lincoln Riley. Even though he's had a disappointing last two seasons, I will take Lincoln Riley. So there's the draft. Coaches that have not won a national championship yet in college football. that will eventually win one. Stu has Sark, Ryan Day, Brian Kelly. I go Kalen DeBoer, Dan Lanning, and Lincoln Riley. All righty, we'll take a timeout here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We have a Pro Football Hall of Famer joining us on the other side. The great Brian Urlacher will join us when we return in 5 minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Urlacher, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, is part of the second annual Invited Celebrity Classic, which features 78 PGA Tour champions and 40 sports and entertainment stars. It's from April 19th through April 21st. Tickets are free. Fans just need to register at www.invitedcelebrityclassic.com, and you can watch live on the Golf Channel all 3 days of competition as well. And now joining us on the Zach Gelb Show is the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher. Brian, always appreciate the time. How are you?
Doing good, Zach. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. So how's your golf game been? I could imagine you probably hit the ball like a country mile, right?
When I hit it good, yes. But when I don't hit it good, which is most of the time, it goes a lot of different directions. But I love the game. It's a blast. You know, it gives me something to do now with all my free time being retired.
You know, you didn't come off to me as like someone when you were playing that was ever nervous. There was always a confidence about you. But golf is such a humbling game. When you participate in something like this, do you get nervous where you just don't want to embarrass yourself with how easy it is to embarrass yourself with golf?
You're exactly right. Golf, I don't think I ever feel like easy, like it's at ease. It's always hard for me. I'm not sure if all the guys feel like that who play in these tournaments, but it's just there's people out there you don't want to hit. Or people watching, obviously, the fans out there.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
And it is so easy to embarrass yourself because you can hit a fat shot, you can top one. Not a lot of good things can go right, but a lot of things can go wrong.
Talking to Brian Urlacher right now. So it is conference championship weekend. Everyone remembers when you punched your ticket to the Super Bowl with the Bears taking care of the Saints all these years later. What are the memories that come back to mind when you look back at that day?
That was a fun day. You know, we were at home at Soldier Field. We got the George Halas Trophy, which is the founder of the Bears. You know, we got it presented to us at Soldier Field. Just started snowing in the fourth quarter there. It was awesome. And then we lost it 2010 at home. Green Bay beat us, and they went on to beat Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. So it was a great day, the first one. The second one wasn't that great. But then we go on to lose to the Colts 2 weeks later. But it's a fun weekend for football. I like watching these games because there's so much meaning to them.
And we all remember how that Super Bowl started with Devin Hester doing what Devin Hester does with the kickoff return. I know he's up for the Hall of Fame. Special teams is always an interesting topic. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. But what would you say if you had to advocate for your former teammate?
I mean, he's the best who's ever done it in his position, right? I mean, no one's ever done it better than him. He changed the game at the kickoff return, punt return. People schemed for him. They had to change their whole game plan, field position-wise, based on what he could do. So he'll get in. I don't know when he will. I don't know how. You look at the list of people that are eligible every year he's been a candidate or a finalist. It's tough, man, because there's some great – I think Julius Peppers is a finalist this year. Dwight Freeney's a finalist. There's some great players. I'm leaving guys out, obviously, but there's so many great players every year who are on that list, so it's tough to pick.
Yeah, and you could only put so many in from each class. And, like, hey, a guy like Jerry Kramer, right, who eventually got in, you know,
he had to wait. My class.
Yeah, he had to wait the longest time to get in. And, you know, just as long as you're on the ballot or you still have someone advocating for you, I guess there's always hope.
Yeah, you know, I was so happy that Jerry got in with our class, by the way. He's a great man, a great player, obviously, with the Packers back in the day. But, yeah, you just don't know what – like, I don't know how the voting works. I don't understand it. I've never understood it. I don't know why some guys go in, some guys don't, and they put them in. Like, well, they're like, we'll put them in next year because we have to put so-and-so in this year. If you're weird enough to go in that year, why shouldn't you be in there? It's just – that's there's a lot of politics involved with that stuff, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher, you know, I don't know if you still miss playing the game because you've been away from it for so long, but when you think back at your career, like you had an iconic career. People say the name Urlacher and everyone knows what you did on a football field, but what are some of the things that still come to mind to you about what you were able to accomplish with your story and your background?
Just where I came from, number one, you know, small town in New Mexico, had one offer for football in college at the University of New Mexico, accepted it, obviously. It's my only offer, so I went there, and I just kept getting better every year. You know, I was in college, I busted my butt, got better and better, and then obviously was able to get drafted by the Bears in the first round, and I think everything kind of fell into place there. My first 4 years were really good with Coach Duran there, and then when Lovey got there and put me at the mic, or I was at mic already, but his cover two allowed me to kind of be an athlete in the middle and kind of run around, do some plays and do some things in the passing game, but also still support the run. But it was great. It was so much fun. I mean, I enjoyed going to work every day of my whole career. Not many people get to do that.
And it's also rare because you played your entire career in Chicago. Were you ever close to going somewhere else?
You know, the Bears always got my deal done early. So it never was. And then obviously my last year when they didn't redo my contract, I had the opportunities to go play somewhere else. But I think at that point, no one really wanted me, and I was too damn old anyway, so it worked out pretty good. Retired at the right time, and I was fortunate to stay 13 years with the Bears.
We're all getting ready for the games this weekend. Obviously, there's a big quarterback matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I'm just wondering, you being one of the more iconic defensive players to ever lace him up, who was the toughest quarterback that you ever had to prepare for?
Oh, they're all so good. You know, I played against Rodgers, played against Brady, Manning, Breeze, Vic. I'm sure I'm leaving guys out as well. Phillip Rivers was awesome as well. They're also good. Rodgers gave us fits. You know, we played him twice a year. And the thing he did, he always knew what defense you were in before the ball was set. Most of the good ones do. And he was mobile enough to give himself time in the pocket. And he could, if he needed to scramble, he could. But he always gave us fits. Brett did as well. Brett was awesome as well. I love playing against him for those few years I got to. But they're also damn good. It's hard to pick one guy. Michael Vick was probably my favorite out of all those guys. Just, man, your whole defense had to be ready to play that day because of the running factor, obviously. But he threw the ball great. People don't give him enough credit for how well he threw the football.
And I don't even know how you're supposed to play defense now these days. Like, no one knows what pass interference is.
Man.
I have no clue how you hit the quarterback. And then all the quarterbacks now have legs, too, so it makes it so tough.
Yes. Zach, on 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 20, there's going to be a defensive penalty.
Yeah.
Whether it's legal contact, a phantom holding call. If it's a big play in the game, there's going to be a defensive penalty somewhere, offside or something. It never fails. I'm sitting there watching it with my wife. I'm like, hey, there's going to be a penalty on this play. Just watch. Or fourth and six or whatever it is, always a defensive penalty. It drives me. I feel bad for the DBs. How do you play defense on a guy when you can't touch him after 5 yards? You can barely touch their jerseys before that. It's tough, man. I don't know how they do it.
And not only that, every time there's a rule that favors the defense, they try to change it. Like, for a while, I was of the belief that you fumble the ball out of the end zone. Well, you could fumble it at the one, you get the ball back at the one, but you fumble it out of the end zone. You know, I thought you should get the ball back, but there's no rules that favor the defense left in that one. So I actually think if you fumble the ball out of the end zone now, it should be a touchback and go to the other team.
It should. Well, that happened last week, right?
Was
the Chiefs game? I think that's always been that way, but one of the few rules that actually benefits the defense. I think if a quarterback or the runner fumbles on fourth down, the ball's dead there because no one else, unless the guy who fumbles it recovers it past the first down, it's dead there. But, yeah, we don't have many that go in our favor on the defensive side of the football. But it's amazing how good – that's why it's amazing how good Baltimore's defense is. With all the rules stacked against them, they still every week show up and play good defense.
And could you imagine how many fines you would get? Not that you were like a dirty player, but now you hit the quarterback and you can't have all your body weight land on the quarterback. It's just ridiculous.
How about you get a roughing the passer for a sack?
Yeah.
The guy actually has the football and they call roughing the passer on you when you get a sack.
Crazy.
I don't understand a lot of the things that are happening right now. I understand them because you want player safety for the quarterbacks. You know, I get that. Those are guys that make all the money. But it's very frustrating at sometimes to watch.
We'll talk about Invited Celebrity Classic, the golf tournament, in just a bit. But I'd also be remiss. I know you do great work with Dicka and Jaws for the Gridiron Greats. I go to that party each and every year. Just tell some people what you do to try to help some of your former players or some players of the past that are still trying to figure out life and unfortunately have to deal with some of the nasty part of football.
Yeah, you know, I think most people think about NFL players or guys that played in the NFL and they're rich, they're well off, or they have good benefits. It's not like that for the guys who played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 90s. The benefits are not what they should have been for these guys. And the NFL is not doing anything for them. You know, the NFL makes $10, $11 billion a year, something like that. And they don't – those guys that played are pretty much out of the picture for them. They get no benefits. So what Coach Dicka did is he started an organization called Dicka's Gridiron Greats. And he just tries to raise money to give back to those guys who don't have a lot right now, whether it's insurance, medical bills, roofing, housing, whatever it is, food. Just trying to give them a little bit of bump. And so the party is February 8th at the M Resort in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Last year was the first time I went. It was awesome. You know, Jaws and I co-hosted because Coach Dick is, I think he's staying down in Florida this year again. But it's a great – I mean, I was shocked how many former players and current players –
It's a great event.
Showed up to the event. I'd never been, so I didn't know. But I was pleasantly surprised at how many guys showed up to support Coach Dick because organization there was really awesome.
Yeah, and I know Mark Singleton and Rudolph Foods and Southern Recipes very well.
Yes, he's awesome. He's a good guy. I like Mark.
Yeah, I've been going there ever since, I think, like 2013 or 2014, whenever the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, and it is all class all the way. Alrighty, Brian Urlacher, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, here with us. The biggest question in Chicago right now, they have the number one overall pick. Should they trade Justin Fields and draft a quarterback like Caleb Williams? What would you do if you were running the Bears?
I would have drafted C.J. Stroud last year. So, you know, they had the number one pick last year. I know everyone was high on Bryce Young, but you look, you know, everyone always talks about the guy. Like they said, the Bears passed up on Deshaun Watson when they took Mitch Trubisky. Well, you could say the same thing last year. They passed up on C.J. Stroud as well. They traded that pick, could have taken him. But, I mean, it's not good to have the number one pick 2 years in a row. Obviously, this year they got it because of the trade with Carolina. But I think they have to take Caleb. You know, I don't think there's any way around it this year. If you don't take him, it turns out to be great. Having said that, Justin Fields played good at the end of the season last year as well. It's tough. Their defense really played good, I think, the second half of the season. I don't watch a lot of their games, but they played better in the second half. But I think if Caleb's available there, you have to take him.
And I thought they played well, like you said, down the stretch. So there's a reason to make the case to keep a Fields, right? Bring him back, Matt Eberflus's head coach. But there was a lot of buzz that maybe they should have taken a swing at Jim Harbaugh. Do you think that was a mistake that they didn't pursue Harbaugh this offseason?
Well, the Bears couldn't pay him what he's going to be paid. They would, but they won't, if that makes sense. They won't pay him what he probably deserves or what the Chargers paid him. So that was probably never on their radar. I like what Eberflus did. You know, he's a defensive head coach and he played good defense. You know, and to your point earlier about Justin Fields being the quarterback, if you're asking in year three if he's still the guy, he's probably not the guy. You know, if you give him 3 years and you don't know the answer to that question, then he's probably not the guy. And he played better last year. I'll give him that. But I just don't think he's going to be the guy going forward for them.
All righty. Before we let you run, always appreciate you to jump on board with us. Tell us once again what you're doing with this big golf tournament coming up.
Oh, yeah, the Invited Charity Celebrity Classic. It's in Dallas at Las Colinas. Great event. This will be the third year we've had it down there. Hard golf course, or at least it's hard for me. We play with the Champions Tour players. We have the celebrity, you know, side of it as well. I think the purse for the celebrities is like $500,000, a little more for the Champions Tour guy. Yeah, you got some Hall of Famers in there from golf, obviously, and then you have quite a few Hall of Famers as well from baseball, football, basketball. Just it's cool. It's a fun week. They do a good job. They have a lot of money back for charity in the Dallas area as well. But it's a fun event. You know, we had a pretty good crowd turnout the last couple of years as well. So it's been a lot of fun.
And once again, tickets are free. Fans just need to register at www.invitedcelebrityclassic.com. You can also watch it live on the Golf Channel all 3 days of competition, April 19th to the 21st. Brian, I'll see you in Vegas. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, Zach. Take care, man. See
you. There you go. Brian Urlacher, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining us on CBS Sports Radio. So Bears legend, one of the greatest Chicago Bears player of all time. He thinks that the team needs to move on from Justin Fields, even though he played well down the stretch, and draft Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, I'm actually concerned about this guy. And the reason why I'm concerned about
red shirt?
You're wearing a red shirt. I'm just trying to think
what
coach is there that's going to get fired or is going to retire, because every time you wear a certain shirt color recently, something happens with that team.
The Falcons, although red is not their dominant color anymore, that made their hire yesterday. So
now, hold on. Stu actually just said something in my ear. Go ahead, Stu.
Yeah, that's the color of Liverpool, whose manager decided that he is going to hang it up after this season.
I didn't have the shirt with that in mind.
It strikes again. Now, some people believe Mike Florio. I even seen Adam Schefter has thrown this out there. Craig Carden, our former co-worker, that Andy Reid, this could be it for the big fella this year. Ack is predicting the Ravens beat the Chiefs, and then Andy Reid's going to eat a bunch of cheeseburgers in retirement.
There you go.
I'm going to assume that's not the way that you're predicting.
No.
I think Andy Reid's coming back too. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Rocco DeSangro, a college classmate of mine who now covers the Baltimore Ravens for Fox Baltimore. He says no injury designation for Mark Andrews, who was activated off injury reserve yesterday. And here is some big news as well. Marlon Humphrey, calf, who was a full participant for the first time since the return to practice and is being listed as questionable for Sunday's AFC Championship game. On the other side, Adam Schefter, Shefty, as his friends call him, the great NFL reporter for ESPN. He is saying that the Chiefs have ruled out Joe Tooney from the game. They're great interior offensive linemen. Isaiah Pacheco, Willie Gay, and Kadarius Toney are listed as questionable for Sunday's AFC Championship game. All righty, without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. Wow, two soccer references on this show today. I did not anticipate this one. Let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start it off with Kyle Shanahan. He had a little exchange with a reporter in regarding fans.
Man, how important is the 12th man going to be on Sunday?
What's that?
The 12th man, how important is the 12th man going to be on Sunday?
We don't call him the 12th man here. but our crowd's very important.
So I've been to some of these conference championship weekend press conferences where you have your local beat reporters and then all the national media and every Tom, Dick, and Harry goes there that week. So you sometimes get some bizarre questions. I don't know who the reporter was, whether it was a local reporter or a national reporter, but you usually get some bizarre questions just asking how important the fans are going to be. Like, what's the purpose of that? Like, what are you trying to write? Like, what soundbite are you trying to get? I'm not saying the environment and the atmosphere doesn't matter. And that's pretty much a lame question, if you ask me. And what does Shanahan call them? Oh, he doesn't call them the 12th man because of the whole Seahawks embracing the 12th man and they retired. I'm pretty sure the jersey number 12 to honor their fans. So maybe there's a little NFC West fighting, inner fighting there between Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, and then having fun with the Seattle Seahawks. Here is Kyle Shanahan on facing Jared Goff on Sunday's NFC title game.
I think he's showing some of the stuff that he did in LA. I mean, you go with Jared, I mean, he built for a number of years, especially, you know, I think 17, 18, really 18. I mean, he played at MVP type level.
So I think the way we talk about Jared Goff is a very intriguing one, because Jared Goff was a throw-in, or a lot of people thought, including yours truly, that he was a throw-in in that trade for Matthew Stafford. And the main coup for the Detroit Lions were the two first-round picks that they ended up getting. One that they got in return for Stafford. The other one was taking on the contract of Jared Goff. Now, they have not officially extended Jared Goff, but he's in line to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future. Heck, they even drafted Hendon Hooker. Now, it wasn't in the first round, but he had first-round potential if he didn't tear up his knee towards the end in Tennessee. But that's someone in Jared Goff that he has proven. I don't think he has a ceiling of greatness. I don't think he has a ceiling of ever being elite. And we already made that joke when Joe Flacco joined us earlier. But He's a good quarterback. Like, there is a lot of quarterbacks in this league that you wouldn't want to have over Jared Goff. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks you say, nope, 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 when you get asked Jared Goff or that quarterback. And I'm not saying that he'll ever be a top five quarterback. You know, he is a borderline top 10 quarterback in this league, but he got to a Super Bowl in LA, and now he's 60 minutes away from getting to a Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. And I'll take it a step further. Outside of Lamar Jackson, I don't think there's an individual player that I'm rooting more for this weekend than Jared Goff. It would be really damn cool if Jared Goff could not only get to a Super Bowl, but then do the unthinkable, and that is deliver a Lombardi trophy to the Detroit Lions fans. All righty, we'll keep it moving. Let's go to Brock Purdy. He hopes Deebo Samuel can play on Sunday.
He's probably the best playmaker in this league. You know, you get the ball in his hands, he can do whatever he wants. Makes guys miss, breaks tackles. He's strong, he's tough, he's got grit, and we all feed off it. So Deebo definitely gives us some juice and energy and momentum on our offense. And I mean, if he's not playing, obviously that's tough on us, but we'll have guys to be able to play as well that can create that as well. So, but yeah, if you're asking me, we'd love for Deebo to play.
I would absolutely be shocked, like stunned, if Deebo Samuel isn't playing on Sunday. He will give it a go. And I saw he was doing some running yesterday, but it ultimately comes down to how effective can he be? He's not the best playmaker in the NFL. You know, you could say one of. He's not the best on his team. That's Christian McCaffrey. But Deebo is the second most important.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
Important player on the San Francisco 49ers. Number one, at least on their offense, I'm talking. Number one is run CMC with Christian McCaffrey. The number two is Deebo Samuel. But the one time the 49ers did look human for a long stretch this year, Deebo Samuel did miss a few games, and that's when they had their three-game losing streak. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes. He has high praise for Lamar Jackson's evolution as a quarterback.
I think the biggest thing that you like to see in other quarterbacks is how they improve every single year. And obviously, everybody talked about his running, but you can see how he's developed as a passer, throwing from within the pocket, arm angles, making the accurate throw in big situations and big moments. And that's what the great quarterbacks do. And he continues to get better and better every single year.
He's a stud. Unanimous MVP, about to win another MVP. The only thing that is missing from Lamar Jackson's trophy case is the Lombardi Trophy. And until he gets that title, you will have a contingent of people that will say, eh, he's overrated. There's nothing you could do to fix the person that says he's overrated. Or he's never going to win a Super Bowl. I don't see why there isn't a reason why Lamar Jackson can't win a Super Bowl. And right now, they're the best team in the league. So if he wins, everyone that says you can't win a Super Bowl shuts up. If he loses, those people will be heard louder than ever. Let's go to Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs, Stone Cold Jones. And he says the Ravens present a unique challenge.
You got the finesse teams, you got the downhill running teams, and then you got the Baltimore Ravens, who can do a little bit of both. They can run the ball, they can pass the ball. They got weapons on the outside, but they also got a dominant offensive line who can just run the ball.
the Ravens just have it. Like, I talked to Steve Young before the season, and he said about Brock Purdy that Brock Purdy just has a force about him. Like, he has the force. The force is with him. I kind of think that's the same way with the Ravens. Like, we know that Lamar Jackson's great. We know Patrick Queen's great. We know Roquan Smith is great. They have a lot of great defensive players. But on offense, their only great player is Lamar Jackson. Now, you have other really good players. You have also other really, 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 really good players. But there's just something about that team chemistry. And that team, and maybe the biggest growth Lamar has made, has been a leader. Like, you are the new guy. Like, Odell Beckham won a Super Bowl. He said this is the best team chemistry he's ever been around. This is the best team he's ever been on. Odell has won a Super Bowl with the LA Rams that had one of the greatest defensive players of all time, a criminally underrated quarterback in Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, who's in the midst of a Triple Crown season. And that's what Odell said. There's just something about them where they may not have the best roster, but what they have, it just fits, it works, and it works at an elite level. Here is the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans in Brian Callahan. He gives his thoughts on his new quarterback and a guy that likes to put mayo in his coffee, and he does not unpeel his bananas. That is Will Levis.
I really enjoy getting to know him. I can't wait to get to work with him. He's got a lot of really special physical talents that I'm excited to go see if we can make better. And everything about him so far has been fantastic, and I'm excited to get to go further down into it.
So I don't think, and I think this is the part that gets lost in it, Mike Vrabel didn't want to coach that team anymore. I know he got fired, but I don't think he wanted to be there anymore, and he realized, wow, we're really going through a rebuild. Where Derrick Henry's on his way out, Ryan Tannehill's on his way out. I like Will Levis, right? I'm sure Vrabel is fine with Will Levis, but that's a roster that does not have a lot of talent. And I do believe that in Vrabel's mind, he wanted to go back to New England and go somewhere where he was comfortable knowing Robert Kraft, where he played his football and won a bunch of championships. But then I guess we didn't know about this clause in Gerard Mayo's contract where he was the coach in waiting in New England. So I don't know if that was a miscalculated play by Vrabel, but I know everyone's talking about Belichick not getting a job. You have the Commanders and Seahawks left. We all think Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, going to get the Commanders gig. I don't see why the Seahawks wouldn't hire Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is basically just a younger Pete Carroll, especially with the energy that Mike Vrabel has. So I would hire Mike Vrabel if I was Seattle, but if they don't, you're going to go with this hiring cycle where no one picked up Pete Carroll, no one picked up Bill Belichick, and no one picked up Mike Vrabel. So considering those circumstances, Tennessee didn't upgrade at their head coach. But if Vrabel didn't want to be there, you're not going to continue to employ him. So you bring in a young offensive-minded coach and Brian Callahan, who comes from a football family that's been around it a lot, and you're going to try to get the most out of Will Levis, but you got to build up the rest of that roster. Like, their GM, I think, is more important than the head coach for the next 2 years, because that roster just simply does not have a lot of talent. Like, Vrabel got so much out of that roster. He got him a number one seed 1 year. He got them to an AFC title game, and it was not a well-rounded, talented team. And then finally, let's go to C.J. Gardner-Johnson of the Detroit Lions. So you got to remember, and I think no one could speak better about this than myself because I got caught up in this controversy. After the Eagles beat the 49ers, Debo went to the Super Bowl and talked crap about the Eagles and basically called their secondary garbage. Last year, C.J. Gardner-Johnson was on the Eagles. So Debo and C.J. Gardner-Johnson has had a back and forth before. Now C.J. Gardner-Johnson's on the Lions. They go up against the 49ers this weekend in the NFC title game. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson has a message for Debo Samuel.
Another thing, bro, listen, don't be friendly when you see me. Because you be so flashy. You better hope, bro. You better hope all that talking you be doing when we see y'all, whatever round it may be. Because I can guard you. You can't run routes. You're a running back. You're a running back. You know, I ain't gonna sit here and play with you, little boy. Just because you got a little bag, people gave you a little clout, man, you ain't nothing, bro. Stop playing.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson's a good football player, don't get me wrong. But the way he talks, you would think he believes he's like the greatest defensive back, the greatest safety of all time. You know, Debo Samuel's a much better football player than you, and I get it. When someone talks negatively about you, you got to respond and you got to take care of your own business. But I kind of hope Debo does play this weekend and he's effective, because I want to see the jawing that goes on between C.J. Gardner-Johnson and then also Debo Samuel. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Who has the most pressure to win it all this year in the NFL? Is it Lamar Jackson? Is it the San Francisco 49ers? We'll discuss when we come on back in 5 minutes right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Horvath going to join us 25 minutes from now. We got NFL picks. We'll see if I can continue my hot streak.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.